This program is made possible by the friends and partners of Unspeakable Joy.
I want to preach to you for just a few moments on America is at her crossroads. America is at her crossroads. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 12, the Bible teaches us that the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and I have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open, and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever. And mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shalt observe my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. But if ye turn away and forsake my statutes, my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I have given them. He says in two verses, if you do this, then this will happen. Then he turns right around and he says, now, if you choose to do this, then this will happen. King Solomon is at the dedication of the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. They have been building it for 7 years. They have finally laid the last stone. They have finally put up the last column. They have finally laid and finished engraving the last sheet of gold. And Solomon goes in to dedicate the house of the Lord, and he sacrifices, the Bible says, so many oxen and lamb and sheep and goats and all the different things. It says that the blood ran through the streets of Jerusalem up to the ankle bone. God comes down, and this is what he says. Before the Shekinah falls, before the power of God hits that land, God turns to Solomon. And I don't know if he said it out loud. I don't know if he said it in his ear. I don't know if he put it in his heart. But Solomon wrote it down. This is what he said. He said, Solomon, if you follow me, and if you choose me, there'll be blessing. But if you go the way of the world and if you choose other gods, there'll be cursing. He said, you'll come to a crossroads at times in your existence. And if you choose the right way, there'll be blessing. But if you go the wrong way, there'll be cursing. He said, when you come to the crossroads, make sure you choose the right way. Beloved, I tell you today that our nation is at a crossroads. Our nation has a choice that is before her. Our nation has been brought to a place, whether physically or financially or spiritually or materially, we have been brought to a place where our time has come to choose. Are we going to go with God, or are we going to go in our own way? Now let me just go ahead and take a time out, because I can tell you some of you are to get picket on me. This is not going to be a political speech. Let me go ahead and tell you where I fall on the politics. The Democrats are God-denying, baby-killing, demon-possessed people that need old-fashioned Holy Ghost salvation. And the Republicans on this side are hypocritical, money-hungry, need to get back to their roots and call the spade a spade and just say, God is our God and we'll serve no else. They need an old-fashioned revival. I don't fall on either side. I'll tell you where I fall. I fall in the camp of King Jesus, and if you fall in that line, I don't care where you fall. We need a revival of untold proportion. So don't you go out here and tell me and talk about how I gave another Trump 2020 or how I gave a Republican or Democrat. I think they're both full of the devil, and I think they both need old-fashioned Holy Ghost, old-time salvation. And if we don't have that, that's going to be the only thing that brings us back. But you've got to understand what we are facing today in our land. It is not a political thing. Boys, don't you ever think that what you're seeing before you is a Democrat or Republican thing. This thing has gone farther than that. It's gone deeper than that. It's gone wider than that. It's no longer about race. It's not about black and white. It's not about rich and poor. We are seeing today a choice that is being set before us that we are going to have to choose whether we're going to walk in the way of God or if we're going to go in the way of man. Are we going to walk? There's several choices that we have. Number one, we have the choice today between order and chaos. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm all about protest, and I think you ought to be able to protest. I protest every Monday morning when I go to Chick-fil-A. I protest against McDonald's. I believe in protest, and I think you ought to protest. But all jokes aside, what we are witnessing in our culture and in our generation has gotten out of hand, and we are going to have to choose whether we're going to believe in order or in chaos. I want to show you a news article because I know some of you are getting real puckered up right now. You don't need to get puckered because right is right, wrong is wrong, and we need to be on the same page with what God says. I want to show you a Newsweek article that happened just a couple of weeks ago in Wisconsin. There was a police officer out, and he was just doing his job. He was out just doing what police officers do, trying to keep the peace. Now, are there bad apples? Sure, there are bad apples, but I'm going to tell you, I got police in my family. Half of my family's in law enforcement. They're some of the best people that I know on this face of this earth, and it runs blue right through here, and I got a red stripe for firefighters that run this way, and I'm starting to get me a little EMS that runs across this way. Here's what I'm trying to tell you right now. This man was just out doing his job. You know what one of these guys, I don't know who it was, white, black, red, purple, green, blue, male, female, I don't have an idea. They took a brick and they threw it at his head. And I don't know if you've seen the video. The video will absolutely make your stomach turn upside down. As soon as that brick hits that poor boy, he literally falls on his face. His body crinkles up as soon as the nerves are shocked and he falls on his face. That's not protesting. That's chaos. That's not protesting. That, my friend, is what happens when demons take over things and they run. Now, let me give you another choice that we've got to make. We're going to have to choose between liberty and tyranny. Now, I want to show you an article of something that's happening to a church that I know personally in California. We're not talking anymore about churches that I don't know anything about. Out in the North Valley Baptist Church, out in the Santa Clara area of California, this is a church that many of us know, that other people in here know. And this pastor is, from all intents and purposes, I believe he's a good man. And here's what they did. They did what y'all ain't doing tonight. They abided by the rules. They were following exactly what the California governor, they had 6 feet on, they have a sanctuary that seats 3,000 people, and they would put roughly 500 people. They spaced them out 6 feet apart, made everybody wear masks, and the governor came in, and the mayor of the county came in and said, if you meet one more time, we'll begin fining you $5,000 per service. As of today, they are up to over $20,000 in fines. Brothers and sisters, our Constitution is clear. It says that Congress shall make no laws permitting the free exercise of the church. We're either going to be American or we're not going to be American about this thing. It's still the way. I understand, but you've got to understand. Brothers, we're not choosing anymore between good or what I think is off this side, or whether you stripe yours as a donkey or you put it as an elephant. This is liberty and tyranny. We're choosing between righteousness and wickedness. Listen, brothers and sisters, I am all for, I have black friends, we have black neighbors. It's not about white and black. But when people hijack that are homosexuals and they're transgender and they take over what is a good cause for justice and equality and making sure that everybody has equal opportunity, I'm all about that. But what you're seeing today is, as long as you don't serve Jesus, Jesus, as long as you don't care about God, as long as you don't want anything to do with the Bible, you can do it and go your way. And you may as well go ahead and get that pucker out of your way, because it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better here in just a second. Here's what I'm trying to show you. We have a choice either between liberty, tyranny, chaos, order, and we've got now righteousness and unrighteousness, but there's something else. We're not choosing anymore between Republican and Democrat. We're choosing now between life and death. Listen, last night, was it two nights ago, out in Oregon, people were protesting, and another group comes out and protest. Listen, back in the 1960s, when Dr. Martin Luther King led his protest in Selma, Alabama, Memphis, Tennessee, and led it in Washington, D.C., you have never heard this in the news, but they would have a million people in Washington, D.C., and on the other side was the KKK. And you know what Dr. King said? Dr. King said, let them say what they say, and we'll say what we say, and we'll let God decide who is right, and we'll let God decide who is wrong. But do you know what these two sides did in Oregon? They started shooting at one another, and according to this news article that I'm going to show you, one person shot in the head, point blank, executed because they didn't agree with the other side. Can I ask you a question? How many of you have ever had perfect harmony in your own home, in your own marriage? None. A civil nation is a people that says, you don't agree with me, and I don't agree with you, but we are still brothers and sisters at the end of the day. That's a civil nation. But civility's gone out the door. You see, we have a choice to make. We're at a crossroads. But I do find refuge in the fact we've been at this crossroads before. This is not the first time in our great land that we've been at this crossroads. In the 1720s and the 1730s, wickedness prevailed in our nation right before a man by the name of Jonathan Edwards stood up, a man by the name of George Whitefield stood up and called the land back to God. We call it the Great Awakening. You've read about it in your history books. It's in the religious books. You don't realize how wicked this nation was right before all of that happened. It was so godless and so wicked, they said they wouldn't even allow children to walk down the city sidewalks at night because it was so godless and wicked. And one man stood up and said, I choose God, I choose right, and he preached sinners in the hands of an angry God, and they said the power of God fell on that place so hard, people literally jumped off the balcony, hung over the banister to run down in a Congregationalist church to ask God to save them. This has also happened in the 1850s and 60s and 70s, in that time that led up to the Civil War. There was division, it was split right down the middle on both sides. You had one side saying one thing, and another side saying the other thing, and it split our nation in half. A man by the name of Abraham Lincoln stood up, and this is what he said. He said, we've all been given rights by God. Therefore, it is not right that any one man should ever hold sway and own another man. It cost him his life. At the death of Abraham Lincoln and through the Reconstruction years, there was enough people, white and black, good and bad, that said, you know what? We're gonna go with God. And there was a great revival that set in the Americas during that time called the Second Great Awakening. But this is not even the only crossroads some of you have ever been at. Many of you can remember the 1960s, the 1970s. Many of you can remember a time and a place when Dr. King was assassinated in 1968. They called him the MLK assassination riots. People turned the cities upside down. There was division on either side of this world. It all culminated in 1970 at a university called Kent State. You remember the Kent State killing, some of you? There was a group of anti-Vietnam War protesters. The National Guard that was there, there were reports of this and that. Either way, they opened fire. And at that moment, there was enough bloodshed in the land where the land said, we're not doing this anymore. We're not doing this. We're not going through this anymore. And over the course of the next 10 years, there was a turning in our nation. It ultimately turned in 1980 when by a landslide, the land said, we're going to go with Ronald Reagan and the moral majority of Jerry Falwell and D. James Kennedy, where they said, we choose to go with God, here's what I'm trying to show you. It's been through the times. It's been through the ages. It's been through the generations when people of God and the people of faith could see through the demonic confusion and see that what was being pumped out by the media and what was being pumped out was just a smoke screen to the real thing. Can I tell you why these kids are protesting in the street? Because there's a hole in their heart and they don't know why they're angry and they don't know why they hurt and they don't know why they don't have any hope and they don't have any peace. And instead of us jumping on one bandwagon or the other, why don't some people of God say we're going to live righteous and say there is hope in the Lamb of God. There's hope in Jesus Christ. There are kids in this room tonight, teenagers and college kids in this room tonight that have come because friends are being baptized. We have teenagers in this room, college kids that come to this church. Some of you elderly and young married, and you are seeing people be swayed to one side and be swayed to the other. You don't know whether to be pulled on that side. You don't know whether to be pulled on that side. Don't be pulled by the different sides. Don't jump on the one side that's ready to drop the gauntlet. Don't jump on the other side that's ready to throw the whole thing to the wind. You drop on your knees and say, God, give me truth and show me what's right and show me what's wrong and teach me the ways of God. We're at a crossroads. And if we don't choose the right way, we may see the end of the whole thing that we know. Brothers and sisters, we're at this crossroads. Here's my question to you. Number one, who's driving the car? We're at a crossroads in our land, and I'm looking at who's driving the car. Now, I'm going to go ahead and just absolutely infuriate some of you. It's not the Democrats, and it's not the Republicans. There's a deeper power at work in our nation right now. We call him the devil, Lucifer, Slewfoot, Satan, Beelzebub, the wicked king of the earth. We call him the prince of darkness. We call him the man that was fallen from heaven. He is the devil, and he is on the one side, and he's pulling. You know what he's pulling with? He's pulling with fear, and this is what he says. He says, if you say this, they'll never listen to you. If you go in this direction, everybody will talk about you. He feeds fear into your life, and he feeds fear into your soul, and he throws the mass up in the land, and he says, look at everybody going that way. Look at everybody going that way. Look at everybody going that way. And they say, well, since everybody's going that way, that has to be the right way. No, that's not the way it works. In fact, you'll often find that the direction the majority walks in is direction that leads to death. You say, how do I know? Because on a little hill outside of Jerusalem one day, the loving Lamb of God was nailed to a cross, and there was only three people on his side. And all of hell came against him, and all the land came against him. But you say, who was right on that day? Was it the crowd that nailed him to the cross, or was it the Lamb of God that was dying on the tree? Don't you ever go with the crowd until you see what the truth is. He peddles that fear inside of you. Kids, he peddles that mind inside of you. And he says, this is the way. This is what you need to be doing. This is what the college professors are teaching. This is what the people are teaching in school. This is what the liberal professors are teaching. This is what those guys with all those letters after the end of it, they've got degrees, so they may as well know what they're talking about. Can I tell you something right now? I've been to a lot of universities. I have college degrees. I have seminary degrees. I have master's degrees. I have all that. I'm going to tell you, it's not nearly as hard to get a degree as you think it's hard to get a degree. You know why? Because they'll basically give a degree to anybody that pays enough money to go to that university. You can have enough degrees, though, to make you a thermometer, but that don't make you know how to do what's right and wrong. Brothers and sisters, I don't care what that teacher says. I don't care what that professor says. You look him square in the eyeballs and you say, I will not go that way until you prove your case. You say they've got to be right. Don't tell me they've got to be right. They're still telling our kids that they came from a puddle of ooze on the backside of 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000 years ago, and yet every day science is showing how the universe is not 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000 years. You just keep on that little jet ship and see how far away from God it takes you. It's time the people of God stop being led aside and stop jumping on bandwagons on both sides and realize whether you go to this side or that, the devil's driving the car. Then you got on the other side. Here's the problem. You go on the other side and you say, well, Why would the devil do that? There's two reasons why the devil would do what he's doing. Number one, because our land is the last bastion of freedom in the entire world. If our mighty cedar falls, the other little trees around us. If we fall, the nation of Israel falls. If we fall, the land of South Korea falls. If we fall, it's just a matter of time before the crown in England falls. We are that last bastion of freedom. And if you and I don't get our heads out of the sand and realize the reason the devil's fighting America, the reason the devil's fighting our land is because this is the place that stands up and says you are free to worship who you want to worship. You're free to work where you want to work. You're free to get educated like you want to get educated. You don't own a system and you don't belong to a system. You can be what you want to be and live in freedom. The devil despises freedom, hates it. You know why? Because he knows if your mind is ever unfurled, you'll see God every time. So that's why he's constantly putting chokeholds on you. That's why he puts strangleholds on you. Now here's the other side. On this side, you got the devil driving on this side. Then you got God driving on this side. And he's pulling over here. You say, how's God pulling? Can I ask you a question? How foolish do we have to be to not look and see what's happening to our land through this sickness and pandemic? Brothers and sisters, if you think this thing was just allowed to come out of some laboratory somewhere and just go across the ocean and just invade, you're out of your mind. You know how many laboratories are full of viruses everywhere and bacteria and biological weapons, but this is the one that got out. And yet, here's what we do. Instead of when this thing comes and wreaks havoc on our land and wreaks havoc on people and makes people sick and all of a sudden fear and panic fill the land, instead of us dropping to our knees and saying, God, what are you trying to teach us? Because remember what I just read? In verse number 13, he says, if the pestilence come, if the plague comes, then you'll know I have sinned. But instead of us ever looking to God saying, God, why have you... We start fighting each other. Instead of trying to look and see the fact we're about to drive off a cliff, we get to the person in the driver's seat, the passenger seat, the back seat, and we start yelling at each other. What are we doing? Brothers and sisters, if we're not careful, the same devil that divided and conquered them will divide and conquer us. And God sends this panic into the land to get our attention. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know that wave of fear that you sense in our land today? That fear that people have about what tomorrow holds? I walked down the stairs this morning, got in that little chair right over there, and I don't know who was listening. I walked right by. I said, I'll be so glad when 2020 is over. I don't know what to talk about. You know why? Because there's this anxiety, this uneasiness in the hearts of the people. I don't care if you're saved or not saved, but here's what you've got to understand. When your heart gets uneasy, it's God trying to show you you need to turn to Him. And we start arguing with each other instead of everybody saying, stop. God, what are you trying to show us in our land? Now, here's a second question I've got. How are we so blind? How are we so blind that we're going to drive right through this intersection and miss the turn? We're missing the road signs. So here's my second question. What are the road signs telling us? What are the road signs telling you and I about what's happening in our land? Our forefathers knew this day would come. So what our forefathers did, brothers and sisters, is they put breadcrumbs along the way so that when we lost our path, we'd be able to find it again. So that one day when a people rose up that knew not God, they would know who birthed this land out of the mighty hand of God. And they put it on our monuments, and they engraved it in stone. Boys, I'm going to show you some stuff that your history books in school will never show you. But our forefathers wanted to make sure that we knew this. They etched it. And I can't show you all of them, but I'll show you a few of them. You realize at the top of the Washington Monument, the capstone, I'll show you this. The very top of the capstone of the Washington Monument that's made out of granite and mixed together, at the top there's an aluminum cap. It was commissioned by President Grover Cleveland when it was dedicated. And at the very top, the metal aluminum cap, it says two words in Latin, Laus Deo. which translated into English literally means praise be unto God. How about in the 1950s and 1954, President Eisenhower, he realized that communism was sweeping across the world and sweeping into our nation. He took an article before Congress and he said, we need to change our pledge. He said, we need to revise the Pledge of Allegiance. And in 1954 in the New York Times, this article was run. They changed it from I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands, one nation indivisible with liberty and justice for all. He wrote to Congress and he said, it is imperative that our children in the classroom learn two words. He said, have our children stand every morning, put their hand over their heart and say, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Brothers and sisters, we are still one nation built by God and under God. And the moment we get out from under God, we'll no longer be indivisible. And that's what you're seeing right now. I don't care what the Democrat platform says. And one day when the Republicans, and don't you ever glory in the fact that the Republicans worship and talk about God right now. You give it 4 years, if the tides turn, they'll throw God out like a trucker throws out an old spare tire when they get tired of him. Don't you ever think that one party is above another. They're both as wicked as the devil and they both are going to burn in hell one day if they don't turn the heart back to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are still the one nation under God, indivisible. They put that in there. And then this one, etched and ingrained on the Lincoln Memorial. Etched in granite on the side of the Lincoln Memorial is the Gettysburg Address. And in the middle of the Gettysburg Address, this is what Lincoln said. He says, under God, we shall have a new birth of freedom. Under God, we shall have a new birth of freedom. And what I predict will happen in our land is when we go one of two ways. If we go the way we're going right now, we'll go off of a chasm and we'll never come back. But if we would but turn to God, if we will but turn to the Lord Jesus, we will again say like Mr. Lincoln, under God, we shall have a new birth of freedom. Several years ago, I believe it was in 2014, the Martin Luther King statue was dedicated in Washington, D.C. It is something to behold. It is unbelievable to see. Throughout the courtyards there around the MLK statue and memorial, there are all types of phrases from Dr. King's messages. Off to the side of the statue, there is this phrase, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. On the tomb of the unknown soldier, etched in the marble, right above the head of the unknown soldier, it says this, here rests in honor and glory an American soldier known but to God. And at the top of the Supreme Court in the relief above the head, as you walk into the Supreme Court, there is a relief of Moses holding the Ten Commandments. You see, our forefathers wanted every one of us to know that when we lost our way in this nation, and when we began to turn aside left and right, to know that from our birth we were birthed out of the mighty power and fist and hand of God. And the day we lose sight of that, we will forever be damned and doomed. But it's not too late. We are not done. The Bible still says in Psalm chapter 33, verse number 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Isaiah said in chapter number 60 and verse number 12, that the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. It is a miracle today that our crossroads come in light of an election that is upon us. God's people have but two things that we are to do. Number one, we are to live righteously. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Beloved, Do not ever, ever discount the power of a righteous life. I tell you right now that 95% of the reasons, or the people that are not in church today that used to be in church, the reason they're not in church today is because of a hypocrite in the house of God. Unrighteousness. And the people that are making the decisions, and I think about this every morning when I look at the news, the people that rioted the night before, I look at all those kids and I look at all those college kids and I wonder how many of them got hurt in church and went to the other side. It is our time to stand. It is our time to do and make the choice for our nation. It is our time to live holy.